Today on Family Talk.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a ministry supported by faithful listeners. Thank you for joining us today as we wrap up a profound message from Pastor Greg Laurie. If you were with us yesterday, you heard him talk about God's remedy for fear and anxiety. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, nearly 7 million Americans suffer with general anxiety about the cares of life. This is a sad reality that so many people are completely overwhelmed and hopeless. Nothing in all creation can quell those anxious moments other than Jesus. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Philippians 4. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a wonderful scripture. In a moment, Pastor Greg is going to continue to explain how we can have hope in Jesus and why he is the only avenue to eternity in heaven. As we rejoin this message, we're going to roll back to a part of yesterday's message so that you can get a running start on where we're going today. Let's listen again to Pastor Greg Laurie, my friend, on this insightful Family Talk broadcast.
I just wrote a book about Johnny Cash, as you know. And at age 71, Johnny Cash knew he was going to die. His beloved wife, June, had preceded him. And on his deathbed, Johnny's sister, Joanne, asked him, "Are you afraid of death, Johnny?" Johnny said, "No, baby." He called her baby because she was his baby sister. He said, "No, baby, I can't hardly wait to be with the Lord." Then she asked Johnny, "If Jesus would say one thing to you, Johnny, what do you hope he would say?" Tears rolled down Cash's face, and he said, "I hope Jesus would say, 'Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.'" That is the hope of a true believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to say that to you, but I have to be honest with you. To some, Jesus is going to sadly but firmly say, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." God wants nothing more than to welcome every man, every woman, every person made in his image to heaven. But he's not going to force you to go to heaven. God's not going to say, "Get up to heaven right now, young man." Hey, you don't have to go to heaven if you don't want to. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through the provision that God has made, which is Jesus Christ, his Son. Here's what Jesus says. He goes on in John 14 and says, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way." And Jesus said, look, it's right here in the front of the stage. Jesus said, read it out loud with me. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Listen, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. Hear me out. All roads lead to God. Greg, are you insane? No, you heard me right. All roads lead to God. No matter what you believe, even if you're an atheist, that road will ultimately lead you to God. By that I mean one day you will die, enter eternity, and you'll stand before God Almighty. Yes, all roads will ultimately get you in front of God. But listen, only one road leads to heaven, and that's the road through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, you will not go to heaven. Heaven is not for good people. Oh, we hear all the time, if you live a good life, you'll get to heaven. Well, let's just say for the sake of a point, that's true. How good? Are you sure your life is good enough? Well, I just think if I'm a good person. Whose definition of good are we going to go with? Your definition? My definition? Shall we vote on it? Here's what the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Here's what the Bible says. If you commit one sin, you're guilty of all sin. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us have broken the commandments of God. The word sin can be translated across the line. Everybody has crossed the line. So we're separated from God. But here's the good news. Heaven is not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people. And you can be forgiven of your sin tonight. You know, if you were lost and you wanted to come to Angel Stadium and you texted me, you'd say, Greg, I can't find my way to Angel Stadium. How do I get there? You know what my question will be? Where are you? How can I tell you how to get here if I don't know where you are? If you're texting me from the coast, I'm going to give you a separate set of directions than I would give you if you're texting me from inland. Different freeways, different directions. So in the same way you say, well, how do I get to heaven? God would ask you the question, where are you? Are you honest enough to say, well, where am I? I'm sad. I'm lonely. I'm depressed. I'm afraid. I'm terrified of death. How do I change this? God would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You need to come to me, and you need to come through me, because I sent my Son to die on the cross for you. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. But why? Why? What if a person is sincere and they believe what they believe is true? Won't sincerity get you to heaven? Really? I mean, think about that logically. What if you went down to LAX and you were going to take a plane to Honolulu, Hawaii, and you're taxiing down the runway, and you hear the voice of your captain come over the intercom. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Flight 293, bound for Honolulu, Hawaii. We'll be at a cruising altitude today of 32,000 feet. We expect a smooth flight. You're thinking, all right. And then your captain says this, by the way, folks, I'm not so sure about the whole fuel thing. You know, I don't know if we have enough fuel to make it to Hawaii, but that's okay because listen, people, I'm sincere in what I believe. And by the way, folks, I'm not going to use our navigation system. I'm not even going to use a map because, people, I believe that all roads lead to Hawaii. I want off that plane right now. I want a pilot that knows what he's doing. And so in the same way, we say, well, I just believe if I'm sincere and I believe if I live a good life. What, do you just make this stuff up out of your head? Are you going to go with what you think? Are you going to go with what God says? Jesus has told you how to get there. Sincerity is not enough. Living a good life is not enough. God says, where are you? You have to say, I'm messed up. I need help. I need God. And then he will save you. The Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But what does that even mean? Well, let's just think about if you were drowning. Some years ago, I was out in the ocean with Jonathan, who you heard from a few moments ago. He was a very little guy, and we're out swimming around, and I got caught in a riptide. Now, here's the irony. I was only like 12 feet from the shore, but I got caught in a riptide, and I'm getting pulled, and I can't get my feet on the ground. Meanwhile, little Jonathan, who can't swim yet, I'm sort of holding him up, keeping his head above water, but I can't get my feet on the sand. I'm a little worried, but I'm too proud to call out for help because I'm 12 feet from the shore. Then I see a lifeguard notices I'm in trouble, and she starts swimming toward me with her flotation device. I'm like, no, I'm okay. And she's almost to me, and I finally got my feet on the ground. I said, hey, thank you very much. I'm okay. She said, all right. That's how some of us are. We're caught in something worse than that. We're caught in a powerful riptide, and we're too proud to say, God, I need help. God says, where are you? You have to say, I need help. I've tried to fix myself. I've tried to self-medicate. I thought if I took this drug, if I drank this, if I had this experience, everything would be better. If I reached this career goal, if I bought this ultra cool car, if I had this sexual experience, if I lived in this house, if I reached this goal, whatever it is, and you set these goals and you reach them, and there was still a hole in your life, and you wondered, what's happening? God says, where are you? Will you just be honest enough to say, I'm lost, I'm in trouble, I need help? Here's what the Bible says. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He'll save you, he'll forgive you, he'll change you, and he'll change your eternal address tonight. You can change your eternal address from a place called hell. And yes, friend, there is a hell. And you can change it to a place called heaven. Listen, Jesus spoke more about hell than all the other preachers of the Bible put together. He warned us about it. He has seen it. God doesn't want you to go there. The Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are that go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Listen, God has dropped a lifeline from heaven. There's only one lifeline. It's Jesus Christ, and he's here alive in Angel Stadium tonight, standing at the door of your life, and he's knocking. And he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. You say, okay, well, I want this relationship with God. I don't want to live a life crippled by fear and overcome with agitation and anxiety and worry. What do I do? What does Jesus say? He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in him. What does it mean to believe? It means put your full weight on him. For instance, right now, I'm putting my full weight of 125 pounds on this stage. Why are you laughing? That's was kind of a hurtful laugh, honestly. No. I'm just talking about my left leg, actually. It's 125 pounds now. No, I'm putting my full weight on the stage. I'm trusting that the guys who built this stage built it right. It's properly supported. To believe in Jesus means I'm believing in Jesus. I'm putting my full weight on him. I'm trusting him and no one else. My son Jonathan mentioned his brother Christopher. The most devastating moment of my life was when my oldest son died in that automobile accident. Honestly, I didn't know if I would survive it. But Greg, you're a preacher. You're supposed to have all the answers. No, I was just a hurting father with a lot of questions. Why did this happen? Why did you allow this, God? My faith was tested, but I want you to know that God was there with me, and he got me through it, and he gets me through it. That's what we need to do. You need to believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. I put everything I've taught for all these years to the test. Okay, God, if you're real, you gotta be real for me right now. And I'll tell you the honest truth. If God didn't come through for me 11 years ago, I wouldn't be up here talking to you. What would be the point of it? But he did come through for me, and he'll come through for you. I don't know what crisis you're facing tonight. Jeremy Camp went through one of the worst crises imaginable, losing his bride. They had just got married. Such a tragic story, but he has hope through it because she's in heaven. He'll see her again in heaven. I'll see my son again in heaven, because in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'll go to see them one day. That's the hope of the Christian. Do you have that hope? I said earlier, life with Jesus is endless hope. Life without Jesus is a hopeless end. What do you need to do to get right with God? Number one, admit you're a sinner. Just own it. Stop blaming other people. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming your teacher or your boss. Stop blaming your dog or your cat. Maybe your cat's responsible somewhat, I don't know, but stop blaming. Just say, you know what, I've done it. I've sinned. I'm responsible. The Bible says all have sinned. Understand, Christ died on the cross for your sin. That's why he went to the cross. Did you know Jesus did not have to go to the cross and die? He could have got out of that so easily with one word to heaven. But he voluntarily went to the cross, carrying it to the streets of Jerusalem, a heavy cross weighing over 400 pounds. Jesus Christ bore the full weight of that cross so you don't have to bear the full weight of your sin. He'll lift your sin off of you. Like Johnny Cash said, I hope Jesus will say, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ will lift it off of you, your burdens, the guilt. He died on that cross because he loves you. So you must turn from your sin. The Bible says God has commanded people everywhere to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to change your direction. Stop running from God. Start running toward God. Turn away from that sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. And then you must receive Christ into your life. Becoming a Christian is not some religious thing. Look, I don't want to be a religious person. I have no interest whatsoever in religion. But I have the greatest interest in a relationship with God. And I think a lot of you do too. I'm talking about a friendship with God. I'm talking about having Jesus come and live inside of you as your Savior and Lord and your friend and your confidant and your counselor and your protector. And one day he'll welcome you to heaven. But only you can ask him to come in. I mentioned that statement of Christ earlier where he says, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. If someone's knocking on your door and you want them to come in, you got to open the door. You say, well, how do I open the door? Is there like a tiny little door in my heart somewhere I've not noticed? No, it's a metaphor. Here's how you open the door of your heart, so to speak. You say, Lord, I need you. I'm going to ask you to do what over 2,000 people did last night here at the SoCal Harvest. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, come into my life. And he will. And he'll forgive you. And your life can change tonight. But you must come. And that is why I'm going to ask you to come publicly. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and make your way down to this field behind this stage. And when you all get down here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, a simple prayer, the kind of a prayer a child would understand. But Jesus said, you must become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. A prayer where you'll just say, Jesus, I don't understand all of this, but I want you in my life. Why do I ask you to come publicly? Because everyone that Jesus calls, he goes openly and publicly. Jesus says, if you will acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before the Father and the angels in heaven. But then he added, if you deny me before people, I'll deny you before my Father and the angels. I'm going to ask you to make that public stand, come down on this field, and then we'll pray together. One last thing. I'm going to ask you to do it now. Do it tonight. This is your moment. This is the time when you can make that change in your life, but you must come. You must come to Jesus. I remember the day I prayed that prayer. It was many years ago. And after I prayed that prayer, I remembered the distinct sensation of a huge weight being lifted from my shoulders. I was just a 17-year-old kid thinking, what was that? That was the weight of my sin. That was the weight of my guilt. I guess I had more of it in my life than I thought. And he'll lift that weight off you tonight, but you must come. In a moment, we're going to pray. And I'm going to extend this invitation for you to get rid of all that anxiety and stress and worry and fear and replace it with meaning and purpose and hope. It can happen for you tonight. Jesus Christ is only a prayer away. Let's pray. Now, Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their sin and show them their need for Jesus. And Lord, help them to come to you. Help them to believe in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen very carefully. If you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want your guilt taken away, if you want to find the meaning and purpose of life, I'm going to ask you wherever you are to get up out of your seat, step into the nearest aisle, and start making your way down the field. And when you all get here, we'll have a word of prayer. So you get up and come now. I'm going to ask my Christian friends for a big favor right now. Listen carefully. I'm going to ask you to not talk. I'm going to ask you to pray, because this is a holy moment. And I'm going to ask you to pray for the person in front of you, or the person on your left or right, or the person behind you, because maybe they don't know Jesus. And this is their moment of opportunity. Pray they respond. Listen to this. I'm going to ask that nobody leaves early right now. I know it's tempting because you want to beat the traffic, but I really need the aisles open so people can come forward. The only movement I want to see in the next few minutes, if you would please, is the movement of those coming forward. You don't want to miss this, to watch all these folks come down on the field and make this commitment to Christ. There might be some of you that are, well, you've fallen away from the Lord. My son Jonathan told you a story. Though he was raised in a Christian home, he struggled with drugs and other issues. And his brother Christopher asked him the question, Jonathan, what's it gonna take? And he finally made that commitment and he's never looked back. Maybe you're someone who's fallen away. You were raised in the church. You've heard this ever since you've been a little kid, but you need to make a recommitment to Christ. You get up and come as well. You're not too old to come to Christ. You might say, well, Greg, I'm set in my ways. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Listen, you're not a dog, and these aren't tricks. God can change anyone. You might say, well, I'm too young. No, you're not too young. If you've understood what I've said, you can come to Jesus tonight. You're not too bad to come to Christ. No matter what sin you've committed, he died on the cross for that sin, and he'll forgive you of it. Ha! But you're not too good to come to Christ. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs him, and that means you. So you get up now. Step into the nearest aisle, make your way down on the field, and when you all get here, we'll pray together.
Amen. Well, with that, we pray that you have been encouraged by this program, and we thank you for listening to us today. Truly incredibly moving end to today's broadcast featuring Pastor Greg Laurie here on Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to call us at 877-732-6825. Our team is waiting to pray with you and answer any questions that you might have about this decision. So jot down that number and then give us a call. 877-732-6825. This powerful message was pulled from the 2019 Harvest Crusade in Southern California. Following that weekend outreach, nearly 9,000 people surrendered their hearts to the Lord. You can learn more about Pastor Greg Laurie, his church, and his evangelistic events when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Once you're there, you'll also see a button that says Order a CD. When you click on that button, you can receive a physical copy of the presentation you just heard. You'll find all of this content and much more when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then click on the Broadcast tab. Now, before we conclude for today, I want to remind you of a new promotion we have for Family Talk listeners. We have compiled some of Dr. Dobson's and Dr. Tim Clinton's most popular broadcasts to create the Family Resource Collection. These programs focus on honoring parents, building a godly bond with your spouse, and much more. Featured on this set are interviews with Abby Johnson, the Reverend Franklin Graham, and Dr. William Lyle. This broadcast collection can be yours as our way of thanking you for a gift of any amount to the Dobson Family Institute today. So get your hands on the Family Resource Collection by visiting drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, or by calling 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for joining us today, and be sure to tune in again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. Our ministry here exists to honor the Lord through ministering to today's families and marriages all over the world. We couldn't accomplish that, however, without your support. And as the JDFI, the James Dobson Family Institute, continues to grow, we need your help. Visit us, will you do that, at drjamesdobson.org, or call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. Stand with us and fight for righteousness and culture.